And once again, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk. Eamon O'Sullivan and Rishi Fogarty, as usual, with you until 7 o'clock. But we are making a small little bit of history tonight, I can tell you, because we're coming for the first time from the Lee Strand Outside Broadcast Unit, and we're stationed, I'd call it the Markle Cross in Killarney, because that's where I grew up, at the Markle Cross. But we're outside Quills, our sponsors, here at the top of New Street and at the junction of High Street, and outside the Laurels. We can see the Laurels there just behind us. But Eamon and myself are with you until 7 o'clock anyway. But not alone that, but we're delighted once again to have Micheál Amorahatig with us tonight, and we're devoting the whole programme. Micheál, you're very welcome once again to Terrace Talk.
Good meal, Micheál, good wish, and I hope you're not contravening any of the traffic regulations of last year with your very, very palatial outside broadcast unit. Tasha Gahunt.
Eamon.
Well, you know, I suppose it's great to have Micheál back in Kerry again. I say this is his home, but I suppose it's nice to say he's suffering from a bit of a cold tonight, and even the best have to suffer from the cold. So there'll be people recovering out there now. He'll tell us what the cure is for the common cold.
Ignore it.
Micheál, when the word went out there a number of weeks ago that you were coming on, I met a lot of people, and they all said, look, forget for the time being, don't be asking about this match and next match. Ask him about himself, about his youth and where he came from. How many were in his family? Travelling around the country. We know nothing about him. So will you bring us through from your earliest memories, your football memories earlier, and your favourites and all that?
I will indeed, but my youth is so long ago now. Now, as everybody knows, I think Rugmé Nakala Dangani Kushu, a little place called Dunsheen. It's down by the seaside there. If you like, on the eastern side of the racecourses, you go into Dingle. You go down that way, maybe a mile down there, close to the sea. A little village called Dunsheen. There were 8 families there. There were ourselves, the Lynches, 2 Farrell families, the Quinns, the Griffins, the Kivans of the Caverners, and the Kennedys. They were the families in Dunsheen, all farming families, and it was a lovely place. At the time, there was a 9-hole golf course there. I think it went back to about 1930. Now, I grew up there, but I left England at a very young age. I left England when I was maybe 15 years of age, and maybe not fully 15, to go to Coláistíscan and Ballyvoudna. But no matter what age you leave a place, that place will always be your home and where you like to go to. And I come down as often as I can, and we'll all be down for Christmas. You know why I'm down tonight? The great night in the Glen Eagles every year, the Kerry Sports Stars.
And just a full house there.
Oh, full house. I was up there now, and Eamon O'Quigley, one of the organisers, about 450 people at the last count, and he wasn't quite sure was it going to grow nearer the 500 before the night is out. I think it will.
On the Gaeilge, Micheál, is that part of what you were growing up, or is it part of Ballyvourney, or is it a combination of both?
Well, I would say it was more part of Ballyvourney than growing up. Now, where I came from, Dunsheen, at the time it was recognised as a Brach Gaeltacht. And a Brach Gaeltacht was a place outside the borders of the Gaeltacht where people had Irish. The older generation they had, and very good Irish, but that English was becoming the everyday language. Now, that's the way it was when I was young, but maybe I was fortunate that I had an uncle who was a schools inspector, and any time he came home, it was all Irish, and my father spoke a lot of Irish, and neighbours like Peter Quinn. I always thought that Peter Quinn had the best Irish I ever had, and I've had a lot of great Irish speakers since. He had great sayings and great wishes and all those, Guian and Dari, and he had all of those. So I was always attached to the Irish. We learned everything through the medium of Irish, but the English was the language of the schoolyard. I went to the convent first and then to the Christian Brothers. English was very much the language of the schoolyard, but we learned through the medium of Irish. But then I spent 3 years in the secondary in Dingle before I went to Ballyvourney, and we were fortunate in the secondary that there was a good leavening, if you like, of Gaeltacht people. There was no Gaeltacht secondary school, so they came into Dingle for their secondary education via Gaeilge Cuisine, so I got to love the Irish more in the secondary school. And then when I went to Ballyvourney, it was Irish from the time you got up in the morning and you went to bed at night, every day, every week, every year.
And your early memories then of football, what are your earliest memories, and how did you develop such a passion and a love?
I would say my earliest memory would be, I would say I was maybe 7 years of age, listening to it. I think it was the 1938 All-Ireland between Kerry and Galway, listening to it in Sheehy's of Ballintagart. That would be about a mile away from us. There was no wireless in the village. The nearest one was Sheehy's. The next one was in the lighthouse, which was near a dingle again. And much later on, there was one maybe a mile in the other direction. They were that rare at the time. But I remember Sheehy's house being full. And I know that Kelly and Galway were playing, and I think it was 1938. And then I also remember Dingle had a great team in the 30s and into the 40s. And my early memories would be of the train leaving Dingle. It was not a single line, but a narrow gauge railway, ordinary carriages, no seats except maybe boards along the side of it. To see that going packed, leaving, going into Tralee, following the Dingle team in the county championship. I remember those as we'd be coming home from Mass at a very young age, people going in the train.
Are your family extended family wide now, Michal? Your brothers and sisters?
Oh, well, I've a brother at home in Dunshee, and Nosh, he's the farmer at home, but all the rest of us are in Dublin, and the late Paddy, or Padraig as we called him, he was my brother and he lived in Dublin as well. But at the moment, my own family are scattered. There's a daughter married to a Greek in Germany.
Does he
have a football? Oh, he does indeed, very much. And he actually invaded Croke Park when Clare won the All-Ireland the other year. He was totally captivated by hurling. And he did everything that every other person did. It was his first time seeing a hurling game, and he cheered and waved and did everything. And then when he saw this mass rush onto the pitch as soon as the game was over, he took off with them and he was in.
Must ask you, what's his name in Irish?
In Irish, it's Seosha. I have christened him Seosha Caledchaidis.
There's a shared woman there somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. So they got married in Dingle, and we had a great day. To the first wedding ever in Dingle, that we had Irish, English, Greek, French, Italian, and German.
Oh,
dear. Should galay around at Gui and Fubble.
And the rest of your family?
Well, I've another daughter then. She rang from Venice yesterday. She's a student out there. And she'll be going on to Finland next. You know, I think the modern generation, they like to travel. I think that's a very good thing. And she's working there as well. I have a son then, when last I heard of him, he was in Osaka in Japan. And he spends maybe 6 months in different places. He's working with GE, and he likes to travel, and why not let him, you know, what they like, that is the thing for them.
Any of them thinking of going to the moon or to Mars or anything? They're going all over the place.
Well, I see nothing wrong with people having ideals and notions and dreams and all that. I think all those things are good.
Well, we're going for a short break. My Hall, of course, is staying with us for the rest of the hour. I tell you, we're in for a captivating 3/4 of an hour, so stay with us and tell us that. Him and myself are talking with Halamara Hartig. We are outside our sponsors, Quills, at the top of New Street there, a place I spent a lot of my young days, just across the street there, as Charlie Nelligan's, of course, Michal.
In other words, you were a corner boy.
A bit of one.
Yeah. John B. Keane always said there was a difference between corner boys in the different towns of Kerry. The way they stood, some of them kept their hands behind their back, the Dingle corner boys kept their hands in their pockets. They were all different.
Are under the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Some fella said to me one time, just see if you stand under the clock there and up the lane there's an awful breeze and the winter comes down that lane, it's deadly. And I was standing there one day with a group of fellas and an old man came along. Do you know, he says, that lane, he said, that the wind from that lane killed more Killarney people than the First World War.
And that's why so Donny Sheehan's come to shop is just around the corner.
Good spot. Yeah.
Anyway, Michal, listen, before I go on. A few birthdays there. Caroline Regan, O'Connell's Terrace, 15 years. My good friend Caroline, have a happy birthday. Tommy and Mary, look after her well there. Stephen O'Neill is out in the Muckross Road, and he's 17 years today. Stephen, a lovely young footballer, a lovely cornerback, I must say. And Michal and Eamon, you might know this. Dan Dwyer come and rang me today to say that the chairman of the Kildare County Board is Andrew O'Sullivan, as you all know. He's
the new
chairman. But I didn't know that he's married. His wife would be his wife's sister is married to Derry Crowley, the farmer footballer. So he said that, and also that he has a nephew playing with London. That's Andrew O'Sullivan. So a little bit of news there about a great Kilcommon man. And Michal, we were talking about your family. They were scattered all over the place. Yeah, there was a few more of them, of course, isn't there?
Yeah, well, the youngest of all did, and she's still at secondary school. Now, she would be the greatest expert on football.
She's the latest who goes wrong with you all the time.
Yes, there isn't a thing that she doesn't know about Kerry football, especially the people from the Gaeltacht, but spreading outwards, Kerry team and all. Tasha Galera all this again. Ta Aideen is in Trinity College, her first year there. And then I mentioned the one older than her, Nola, who's in Venice. Nass is at home, and I think she's going to her final year of medicine in UCD. Cormac then, he's the best footballer of the lot of them. He was on the Bridges team that went to the Dublin County Final this year. They won the Dublin League, and they've had a great year, and played for Dublin Minors and under 21, and he might make the seniors yet. And then that leaves the eldest, Eamon, who's living and married in Kildare. He's physio to the Kildare team again this year. Now, he wasn't last year. He was the year that they got to the All-Ireland Final. So they're all...
So how many in the family, Michal?
Eight in the family, yeah. And the boss, Helena.
Take us back to Ballyvoney, Michal. Who do you remember best as your friends up there?
Well, it was the first time I ever boarded a bus when I left Dingle to go to Ballyvoney. It was a new world. I went on the bus from Dingle to Tralee, the first time I was ever on the bus. Naturally, it was the first time I ever went on a train. I went on a train from Tralee to Cork and another bus out to Ballyvoney. We had a few people from Dingle. We had Seamus O'Sullivan. We had Sean O'Hanafain. In Tralee, we met the Murphys, Sean Murphy and Padraig Murphy. They were going there, and Barney O'Loughlin and Flann Ryan. And as we came nearer to Ballyvoney, we were gathering more and more. We gathered people in Cork, and they had come from Galway, from Mayo, a few from Dublin. If you liked, it was a mini-university. There were people there from Donegal, Mayo, Galway, Clare, Limerick, Kerry, Cork, Waterford, Tipperary, Kilkenny, Dublin and Monaghan. It was great, really. Oh. And all Irish, and De La Salle brothers, plus lay teachers. Agus gachtaí na cogaíoch ó von Gabar, bhí sé go húnta cur fáil.
Michal, when did you find your first passion then for Gaelic football developing?
Well, really, in Ballyvoney, because when we went to Ballyvoney, you know, it wasn't that long there, but it always had a tradition for football, and there was a very good team there when we went there. I only spent 3 years there. I had the intercept done going there, so instead of the normal four, I only spent three. There was a very good team there, and the star was Dermot Hannafin, who played for Kerry in the All-Ireland Final in 1953 against Armagh. A massive man, a great fielder of a ball, a great lash of a kick. I remember a penalty he took against St. Brendan's one day in Killarney, crashed it off the crossbar, bounded out, landed at his feet in the 14, and he met it with the left over the bar, and then she would left the ground almost. He was that sort of a player, you know, a powerful man, and... I think the same day John Joe Sheehan would have been playing for St. Brendan's.
We're talking about John Joe Sheehan, not interrupting you. Yeah. He's coming to Killarney tomorrow night. There's a big night on in Killarney tomorrow night for the 1949 Killarney team. We've been talking about it. They're celebrating their golden jubilee. We're having a do for them.
And I heard that.
They're coming down tomorrow. There's 26 All-Ireland medal holders coming down. And believe it or not, for the last time this century, the Sam Maguire Cup is coming into Killarney tomorrow night by train. Luckily enough,
we were able
to get the chairman of the Meath County Board, thanks to him. He's coming down tomorrow night, and it'll be the last time it'll be brought into Killarney this century.
Well, it's great to see. That's part of amateur sport, reunions and get-togethers and celebrations, and I think that's what makes it all worthwhile as the years go on.
And I was talking to Mike Minehan, the former minister, today. He was on the Killarney team of 49, had a big long chat with him today. Fabulous man, great memory about football back through the years. So he said to tell you, he was asking for you.
Sure the Lions were on that team. Yeah.
There was Teddy Lyon, and there was Jackie Lyon, and there was Dinny Lyon. Mm-hmm. And Dinny Lyon and Dan Cavanagh will be there tomorrow night, and they'll be honoured with the Killarney team, and also they'll be honoured as honourable medal holders.
I was just interested in what Michal said there about colleges football. I'd love to know, did the whole school travel that time? How did you travel, St. Brendan's versus Killarney Easygon?
Yeah, well, it was very easy for the whole school to travel because there was less than 80 pupils in the entire school, and we usually travelled in John Timm's lorry. Now, there was no fancy transport or buses with cushions or anything. It was John Timm's lorry. You stood, you held on to the railings.
Who was John Timm?
He was John Timm from Ballymacere, and he had a few lorries for normal lorry business, but on Brother Pather, he was from Valentia Island. He'd have been an uncle of Ger Lynch and Brother O'Leanchig, and he was crazy about football and Gaelge. He was, if you like, the man that would get in touch with John Timm, and lorries would come and we'd go.
What about your own playing career then, Micheál?
Well, I played a good bit in Ballyvoodna. I wouldn't be a star or anything like that. And I played a good bit in Dublin later on with the Geraldines.
What position used you play in?
It varied. I'd say my greatest claim to fame was that I scored 3 goals one day playing for Geraldines. Would you believe that I forgot who we were playing against? It was in a Dublin League game. And you might know Declan Horgan.
Declan,
he had a great sense of humour. Now, he wasn't at the game, but he had about the 3 goals. And his comment was, it's a pity about the poor old goalkeeper. I believe he'd been signed into the home for the blind tomorrow.
Could you describe one of those goals for us, Micheál?
I can indeed. And I can still hear him roaring. A great friend of mine in Ballyvoden, he was a friend of everybody's. He was a man called John Long. He was from Ventry. He'd be brother of Tom Long's. And he was a lovely footballer. And he was a man always, when he held the football, he thought it was the greatest feeling on earth to be holding a football. And I remember he kicked it in. It was a little bit to the right of me. I got it. I turned around. The fullback was another person that maybe was due for the home for the blind. He went the wrong way. And I kicked it to the back of the net. And I could hear John Long at least 50 yards away, and he roaring his head off, Oscar Ilge, Maravíochag in the Malavoudna. Now, it's a long time ago, but...
You sort of could dummy to the fullback anyway.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Where did your love or graph for hurling develop, Micheál?
Well, the trial I did to become a commentator, it was for a hurling game. And believe it or not, it was the first hurling game that I had ever seen. I hadn't seen, because there was never hurling in Dingle. There was no such thing as hurling in Ballyvoudna. I think one or two guys from Waterford, the V. Tomás MacGeoghan, and there was a guy called Jimmy Butler. And I think they had hurlies, but in no time they'd take them out of the field for an odd puck. But there was no hurling in Ballyvoudna. We were never taken to hurling matches. We'd listened to them all right on the radio. But I never saw a hurling match until that match. And then I got a great love of hurling very early on. The second game I ever broadcast was the Oireachtas final of 1949, Tipperary and Laois. They had met in the All-Ireland final. Tipperary wiped them out, but Laois put up a very good show in the Oireachtas final. Maybe 3 weeks later, I broadcast that game. I can still see the star game Tommy Doyle played left half-back. And I'd say from then on, I had a great love of hurling.
Talking about hurling, before I forget it, I was up in Linksnail last Saturday night. They were launching their Millennium Calendar. Willie Dowling and all his great staff, a great ladies' committee. They had a great night up there, and they gave me a special, lovely, beautiful calendar to give it to you, Micheál. I'll be giving it to you after. And they said, specially give that to Micheál and Terrace Talk. And everyone in Linksnail listening to Terrace Talk tonight, they said, don't forget to mention it.
Well, the nicest name in Kerry, Lac Snava.
Just on the comments tonight, which we will not take any comments on the air, but if people have comments, they can ring Eileen at the studio and we'll come back to them next week. You mentioned there the Oireachtas, and I'll tie the Railway Cup in with it, Micheál. Are you disappointed or surprised at the demise of those competitions?
Yes, if you take the Oireachtas one first. At that time, shortly after the All-Ireland final, the Oireachtas committee, they selected 4 teams. Generally, the All-Ireland champions and the runners-up, and 2 other teams then that had been prominent, that maybe had hard luck. And there was always a terrific final. They played it at the final about 3 weeks after the All-Ireland, during the Oireachtas in Dublin. And I can remember Oireachtas finals between Galway and Wexford, Kilkenny, Tipperary, different combinations, fantastic games of hurling. I remember Croke Park used to be almost covered at half-time with pipers. A display of piping, maybe 30,000 people present, terrific hurling, a great atmosphere. I really loved those Oireachtas finals, apart from the fact that I broadcast them every year for a long number of years. I think they began to go wrong then when they began to postpone it from the time of the Oireachtas, began to move it out of Dublin. Teams maybe not putting in their top team. I remember the great Wexford team at the 50. companies. They put out their All-Ireland winning 15 in every game as much as possible unless a player was seriously injured. The same way with Galway and Kilkenny and those. Railway Cup was a different thing. I think that faded out as the club championship began to grow in importance. But then things change and we have to accept change as other things develop.
Well, we're going for a short break now. We're talking to Mihal Mulhartig. We're outside our sponsors here, Quills at the top of New Street. And when we come back, we'll be giving Mihal, which we gave the listeners a number of weeks ago, our best 25 footballers that are group picked. We'll see what he'll think of them. So stay with us and tell us talk. We're talking to Mihal Mulhartig, Eamon and myself. So as Eamon said, if you have any comments, ring Trillios at 671-236-666 and we'll deal with them next week. We were talking about the Killarney due tomorrow night. I've just said to Mihal there, if he's around, he's more than welcome. He said, you'd never know, I might make it. Well, if he could, wouldn't we be delighted, because it'll make some night. And also tomorrow night, just as a matter of interest, there's no band, but we have Mike Sexton, Siobhan O'Brien, Mara Reen, Tim Brosnan and Pádraig O'Donoghue, the great confessed footballer, singing a song tomorrow night. They'll be all doing individual items.
Pádraig is taking time off the training again this week.
Pádraig, that's right, he is, Eamon.
Dil Pliskar on a real roll. It's a long year for all of them out there, but I must say that last Saturday's East Kerry final was as good a game as I've seen the county this year.
It was an absolute cracker. Well, we were talking about Charlie Nelligan's while ago there. Well, if we stepped outside this outside broadcast unit and took about 20 paces up the street here, just on your left-hand side is where the great Tighe line was born. Tighe is listening to us in Castleline tonight. He can make it tomorrow night, but Damo, your son, Tamo, if you're listening, we expect to see you there tomorrow night. Tighe was just born up here in the left, one of the great footballers, Micheál.
One of the great, yeah, left foot. I remember a great point he kicked in the early 50s. I think it was a league game against Mayo. And I did mention Declan Hogan already. He was a great judge of a footballer. He was with us under the Cusack stand, and we said something when we saw that point. And he said, Tighe's even better than that. And he showed it right through the 50s that he was.
Now that you mentioned Damo, and Mihal has mentioned Tighe kicking pints, Damo by himself, of course, is an All-Ireland club medal with Desmond's.
Just like
that.
I'm sure he'll
always remember the day above in Clanagail and Roscommon when he kicked two or three fabulous pints himself, and people were saying, yeah, he's the son of Tighe.
Now, Mihal, a group of fellas that know everything, the hurlers in the ditch, there's thousands of around us, you know better than anybody. Yeah. Five of them sat down one night, we called this out already in Tellus Talk, and they picked what they consider their 25 best Kerry footballers since 1955 in alphabetical order, may I ask.
Yeah. Like all-star selections and all that, nobody ever objects to anyone that gets on one of these lists. But people object strongly to people who did not get on.
And that's why we want to ask you who's not on the list.
Oh, yes.
Because
maybe.
You're a man yourself.
I'm at a disadvantage that I wasn't able to sit down like these. Are they anonymous? You're not going to reveal them.
The selectors. They're the very same as yourself.
Okay, yes.
Anyway, listen to this list.
Alphabetical order.
Johnny Culty, John Dowling, John Egan,
Malice. You want me to comment on all of them?
No, I
want to stop you.
You couldn't object to any one of those three.
Johnny Culty, either as a forward or as a goalie, as a hurler or a footballer.
Yes, correct. Yeah. John Dowling.
John, the greatest heart of a player I ever saw.
John Egan
didn't get on the Millennium team or anything like that, but if you sat down to pick a team, if you could say have everybody in their prime of all ages, if you wanted a corner forward, I'd be putting John Egan in there.
Tim Kennelly,
the first man I had praised him was the late Michael Moran. When Kerry not going that well 73-74, and I remember being talking to Michael one day about, you know, the future of Kerry football, and Michael said, if I had my way, I'd push Tim Kennelly in centre back, give him a few games there and see what he'd come to. He must have spoken to the selectors.
Yes,
they did. He was wonderful.
Anyway, Tom Long.
Yeah, keep going. No objection.
Tighe line, no objection. No. Paddy Lynch.
Brilliant.
Seamus Moynihan. Seamus Moynihan. Do you think he should be on our team?
Seamus Moynihan would be on any team.
Would he?
I'll tell you this now.
Except the All-Star,
but I say he should be on it. Yeah. Now, I'm not an All-Star selector.
You better explain yourself now, Mia.
No, I'm not an All-Star selector.
Oh, no. So, joking aside now.
But joking aside,
there was no Kerry men on the panel, so picking the team.
Well, I said, I have no idea who was on it.
Yep.
Now, I'll tell you a very good one about Seamus Moynihan. Now, I was an Australian, as you know, and I was broadcasting games back home. In a way, they're much more advanced than we are. The minute the first quarter ended, page of statistics was pushed in front of me, came out of the computer. Another one at half time, another one at the three quarter stage. And it told you exactly how many kicks each player in the field had got, how many marks they had made, in other words, how many times they fielded the ball, how many times they handballed it away, the scores they got, freeze for, freeze against. And on every one of those four pages, the man that came out on top was Seamus Moyne.
Strange enough, old producer Paul Sheehan was saying that Liam Higgins and myself were going to get that in future for all the matches we didn't get.
That's very good. County championships and all, yes.
Even all the matches.
If you have the computer, it will spit it out in front of you.
Just so the end old man is here with us, then he's the man that's going to be
producing. It was brilliant to see, you know, Seamus Moyne and Trevor Giles, another player that came out very good on that. It was amazing the number of times that each of them had possession. And one other thing about Seamus, he was the only player that had frees for, but no free against him.
I often wonder, Damon, watching Seamus Moynihan playing, and I'm still at every match I see him playing, and I haven't time to do it, wouldn't it be lovely to count how many times in the match that he handles the ball locally?
Yes.
Well, his second half display last Saturday, now, was an example of that. Like, I mean, he took the game by the scruff of the neck at a time when it was needed, and it worked out.
But he was under a serious disadvantage this year. He wasn't in Croke Park.
I'd say when it came down to vote for the one and a half back positions, I'd say he was outvoted. I'd say that's what happened.
Well, that it should the famous Brian Whelan didn't get on the hurling team.
No, he didn't.
And I was a selector that year. But but it turned out that Brian Whelan got more votes than anyone, but he got them for the three half-back positions. The others were specialists. Three different people got more for him than him individually for the different...
Anyway, Mihala Morahartig was not a selector on the All-Stars this year, so he had nothing to do with...
selectors will always make mistakes.
Now, the next man we have in our list here, Seamus Murphy.
Seamus Murphy, you know, Sean was the first Murphy to become prominent. He won a junior All-Ireland medal in 1949 with his brother Padraig. The following year he won a minor All-Ireland medal, and then he went on to win three senior medals. You know, and then Seamus came along, and Seamus was a brilliant player, you know, won four All-Ireland medals. And you'd get an odd person to say that Seamus was a better footballer than Sean.
I'd draw in behind that myself.
Would you? Well, he was a terrific footballer, and I remember one time, it was Mick O'Connell I had saying it, Mick O went off injured one day in New York. And I think he said he went down to around, took up a position around the 14-yard line to study why Seamus Murphy was so good as a cornerback.
Johnny Cullity nicknamed him the Shepherd.
The Shepherd. He was brilliant at shepherding. Great. A great blocker, everything.
That's right.
And remember, he won All-Ireland at midfield as well and played forward. And remember, in 1962, Noel Lucy was put off in the Munster final.
Noel Lucy talking out to Man Knight and the Glen Eagle too.
Brilliant.
He is, yeah.
But Noel Lucy wasn't available for the All-Ireland semi-final. The star of the Dublin team that time was the centre-forward, Des Foley. Kerry selected to side, we'll put Seamus Murphy centre-back. And he outplayed Des Foley.
I do, and on behalf of all the girls here in Kerry, we'd like to extend our best wishes to Seamus, who's ill at the moment.
Well, I met him last night. I called in to see him in hospital last night, and he's great talk and everything, and the usual good spirits.
That's good. Of course, we're just across the road. We can't, Charlie Nelligan, enough said, because...
Enough said.
There'll be no buns for you.
There are only two goalkeepers in the world who each hold seven All-Ireland medals. The late Dan O'Keefe is one, and Charlie Nelligan is the other, and Charlie has a minor and 321s to go with it.
Jerome O'Shea?
Yeah, corner back, the few balls he pulled down in 55 towards the end of the game, even that alone would make Jeremy great.
But that's gone back a long time, 55, but what I notice, every year he's gone higher and higher for the ball. I was talking to him the other day, and he said the ball was going over the bar.
Yeah.
He said he brought it down from over the bar.
Yeah.
Even though I was talking to himself one day, and he told me he never rose off the ground at all to catch it.
Well, he had great height.
listen, Jack O'Shea and Mick O'Connell, we won't even discuss them.
No need.
Mick Dwyer, no need to discuss him.
No, as a half-back, when Mick O was a half-back, he often played a brilliant game unknown to anybody.
Yeah.
Some players can do that. be neighbouring perfectly without even being noticed.
We're moving along nicely, Mihal, you're agreeing with them all.
I am. Eamon O'Donoghue, a very inventive forward, very good player.
Yeah, a teaching colleague of mine in Castle Island one time, and what I found about him was a fantastic. I think he'd have made a great selector because he was a great man to see again.
Very shrewd.
Mihal, what year did he play in goal for Kerry in the Munster final?
In Munster final, Kerry were beaten the same day.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Would it be the time the Sputnik landed or something?
It was around 58, was it? 58. They brought him out the field to kick a free with the last kick of the game.
It was not the last kick of the game.
Well, it was the last free of the game.
To the last free of the game. To the last free close to the goal.
Anyway,
the last kick of the game was taken by his brother, Paddy.
Right, yes. And he missed the free, by the way.
Yes.
As a matter of interest, who went in the goal when he came out? A fellow by the name of Josie Bryant from Tralee.
Josie Bryant. Josie Bryant.
And Josie, because it cost Josie in All-Ireland, Jonah Medder.
Because he lost his place
in the Jonah team. They won the All-Ireland and he got no kick.
Jackie was manager.
Paddy Shea, enough said.
Yeah, enough said.
John O'Keefe,
centre-back, midfield, full-back.
Yeah. Johnny Sullivan.
I remember Joe Cahan one time said about... John O'Keefe, he said, in time I'd be happy to be remembered as a fullback that was half as good as John O'Keefe.
And anyway, the rest of them anyway were Donnie Sullivan,
yes,
talking out to my night in the league, and George Power, Mickey Sheehy, enough said, Pat Spillane, we saw him in television the other night, he played a blinder, Owen Liston, Brendan Lynch, and Augie Moran. The other 25 now.
Why did they stop at 25?
Well, I suppose you could be going on.
The panels are confined to 25. Yeah.
And there's a lot of naturally people on the field.
Not too many at all. They're still saying that it's a bit biased.
Think of the 25 now.
No, they were all superb footballers, but you could put another 25
you could,
by their side.
You could. Anyway, thanks for discussing that with us. We're going for a short break. Stay with us and tell us talk. And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're talking to Mihal Mórahaptig and also being on tonight at the tomorrow night at the Killarney Door, Eamon Fitzgerald and Denny Keyes at the Killarney Advertiser. They're promoting Gaelic games in around these Kerry and Killarney district with their free handout since 1973. Now, the second part of the quiz. Last week we gave you the first part of the quiz and it's for a Quills £180 voucher, and next week you'll get the third part, so there's no answer again tonight. So if you have last week's clue, now listen to this week's clue. And next week then we're hoping to have the voice. And the second clue is the year was 1990. The year was 1990. Eamon.
John Kelly, chairman of Sport, reconvened the AGM of Sport Club, will be held at the clubhouse on this Sunday, the 19th of December at 4 p.m. My own thanks to Cordell GA for an invitation to the social, and congratulations to their chairman, Charlie Farley, who was elected clubman of the year. For next week, tune in, because we'll be talking to four young players who will be giving their views on the GA, and certainly we want, there'll be no holds barred, they'll tell us what they think. And You were at the cross, the Market Cross, I think you called it.
The Market Cross, right, yeah.
Well, I was looking out behind your back there in the window about 20 minutes ago, and a man passed by, a man called David A. Cahill, who was home from Chicago, and he donated the Cahill Cup to the GA in 1986, and he's a colour man, and he just happened to pass up, and you're quite right, if you want to be seen, the Market Cross in Killarney is the place to be.
Mihal, you were looking at the list of footballers, and you added on a few
days. I'm looking at the famous list. I know the scribbling is very poor, whoever wrote them out. I'd like to know who the selectors were. I can't see the name of Sean Murphy in there, or the likes of Paddy Sheehy, or Jim Brosnan, or John Joe Sheehan. No, you'd be happy to have those in any 25.
You would indeed, yeah. But as you say, you could add on.
You wouldn't object to anyone on it, certainly not. But you'd wonder why they're not on it.
Like Seamus Minan.
Seamus is on, yes.
I know, yes. He's on. Mihal, getting back to yourself then, and I'd be very interested, how did you come into the broadcasting? Like, when was your first wrinkling that, gee, I'd like to be a broadcaster? And what did you do to develop it?
Well, I never had a notion like that, but I do remember once in Ballyvodna, we had a lot of impromptu concerts, you know, we had a lovely hall in the CMC, we called it, you know, the hall of fun, if you like, or pleasure hall, dancing, singing, and that type of thing. And there was no prop up on the stage, a microphone, piece of cardboard with BBC written on it. And people were dancing around the place, and the guy caught this and he started talking. And I remember distinctly taking it off him and saying, I could do that, Death and Jesh in the end of Nice Fire, not Thussa. Now, it was an instinct maybe. But then I became a broadcaster by chance in response to an ad up in Collage de Faulding in Drumcondra, offering trials or auditions for people at a club game in Croke Park. I went along in the company of a whole lot of others, and like winning the lotto, I was selected.
Just like that?
Just like that, yes. And no training or anything, but your, you know, might have been as well off without.
In relation to GA commentaries in general, Michal, a lot of what I would call both in television and radio now, you're talking about, as we she knows, the commentator and the analyst together. Would you prefer to go solo all the time?
Well, I would. I think analysing comes after the game. It's okay to have, I think while a game is on, people want to know what's actually happening. If you like, it's present tense all the time. You can over-analyse a thing. And I think it's better to analyse the game when it's over, you know, and give the different opinions. There's lots of time after the game. I think the game itself should be for the action on the field.
Michal, could you give us this week in the life of Michal Amunahabdig?
You mean this present week?
Present week, no.
When I came down, I had a very busy weekend. I was down in Cork. I was in Waterford. I was at two functions in Cork. Pamela Shahi Galarna tonight. I'm staying in Kerry until Friday because back at Fundoruchtan Vlaskaid, or Unadan Vlaskaid, they're unveiling, I'm actually doing the unveiling of a portrait of my late brother Paddy. You know, he was very, very much involved in the development of the foundation and so on. I'll be doing that on Friday. I'll be at the Dogs for a little while on Saturday night because I have to go to open up a pub, even though I'm a pioneer. I'm opening up a pub somewhere in Kildare, all the Leash. It's in Ballybritis. I think it's in Leash.
Didn't want to make
no,
the
no,
pubs,
no. It's the football pub in Ballybritis. And I'll be there on Saturday night late. I'll be at a match on Sunday, but things are easing off now with Christmas. And things will ease off considerably because I'm no longer chairman of Bord na Gaeilge. I was abolished about 10 days ago with the North-South, you know, the cross-border boards and so on. The Bord na Gaeilge had to go before that had come into being. So after 9 years, I think I've spent long enough.
Does that mean Derry Murphy is out of a job as well?
Oh, Derry would be out as well, yes. And, it's a pity because Derry was only warming up to
us. Mr. Nihal, a question as we face downtime, I suppose. Where and what do you think the strengths and where the GA is going at this point in time?
Well, I think the GA is stronger than it has been in a long time at the moment. And I do think we're here now on Radio Kerry. I think local radio has been a great, great boon to the Gaelic Athletic Association because what you're doing here, local radios elsewhere are doing something similar, promoting the games, boosting them. As somebody from Longford said to me, we could never get on national radio or national television. We're on locally week after week. It's great. Yeah,
Liam Cotter, the great Liam Cotter, yeah, told me just a while ago, I was talking to him, that he's only back from Birmingham. There was a huge night over there.
Yes.
The Kerrymen's Association in Birmingham had a huge night, and he said that the GA is very strong over there.
Very strong, and clubs are strong, and you know, there's more and more social activities now. And I think the GA council may be 80% of the social activities.
Michal, how do you keep going? You do a lot of travelling and you're on the go continuously and you must love your work very much.
Well, travelling doesn't affect me and I think it must be a bit of a help that I don't drink, you know, that I'm always fresh in the morning. I often wonder how people who drink survive.
Biggest mistake that you made in the commentary, Michal?
The biggest mistake, not knowing Gerard McCarthy when he came on with the wrong number. Now, that was okay, but what really offended the Cork people, I referred to him as a Clare man before Clare became fashionable.
Well, we're coming to the end of our terrace talk from outside Quills here at the top of New Street, and we had Michal with us. It was great to have you with us, Michal, and there's another big night in front of you, of course, out in the Glen Eagle later on for the Kerry Sports Stars Awards, because it's gone, and John Joe Porty Landers, of course, is getting the Hall of Fame. Who's going to get the overall thing? That's the big thing. Michal, this is becoming a yearly thing now for us. With the help of God, next year when you're down for the Sports Stars, we are booking you straight away, Eamon, aren't we?
Yeah, and like we said, we've only really touched on the man's career.
That's all.
I'd love to talk about all the matches and maybe the funny incidents.
So we're coming from the Killarney Studios next week. George Sullivan was on sound. Paul Sheehan produced the programme. Eileen is over in Tralee taking the calls. Michal Amunahabdig, always a pleasure and a privilege to have you. It was great. Until next week, when we come from Killarney, from Eamon and myself, thanks for joining us.